Fuel your team with Total Coffee from Staples Business Advantage. Our comprehensive program offers no upfront cost brewers, installation, maintenance, and supplies. Plus, our incredible selection of coffee and beverages, including our new Pick-Me-Up Provisions brand. We handle everything from finding the best brewer to providing ongoing service, all at no cost with your minimum monthly spend on break room products. Visit staplesadvantage.com/totalcoffee to get started.
Ready for a new and exciting career challenge? At DHL Supply Chain, you're part of a team committed to creating innovative solutions for some of the biggest brands in the world. We're recognized as a best place to work, where people are valued, supported, and respected. DHL Supply Chain is hiring for a wide range of salaried operational and functional roles. Previous experience in logistics is welcome, but not required. All opportunities, no boundaries. DHL Supply Chain. Apply today at joindhl.com.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.
She said it because of his wet blanket energy. Unhinged. That's actually unhinged.
Hello and welcome back to She's All Batch. I'm Stephanie.
And I'm Jackie.
And we don't care if you're here for the right reasons because we're just happy that you're here.
Exactly. So come join us as we talk shit about our favorite show. Wow, it's been a minute since I've said that. Hi, guys. Welcome back. Let's creep.
Okay. So Jen is officially filming her Bachelorette season, but there's still like rumblings of what actually happened with Maria. Mm. And like, did she decline the Bachelorette? Whatever. The original story was that she declined it. And that's what we covered a few weeks back because there was a DM from Lauren to a fan, apparently, where she said Maria turned it down. I never fully really believed that. And now there's some new information that points to there may be more to the story. This is from Demois. I don't know if it's sourced, so obviously take it with a grain of salt. But the source told Demois, Maria had started the season, but had a hard time getting through filming. They had to last minute replace her with Jen. Same guys competing for Maria are now there for Jen, so it's awkward. They were literally in the process of filming when Maria quit.
I feel like we would have known more about that, though, right? Like, don't you think Reality Steve would have heard some sort of rumblings?
Or like someone, unless they're just filming only indoors, there's no eyewitness that saw Maria filming. There was never a picture ever.
Right. And like, haven't they said that they're filming not at the normal Bachelor Mansion for this season? But like, was that the case with Maria's season? Like,
yeah, I don't know.
Where? I don't know. I just feel like people always know when they start filming for like the fact that we know that they're filming Jen's season. So it's like, if they were filming Maria's season, we would have heard, right? Someone would have to speak out. One of the contestants, someone. I don't know if I believe this.
Well, it continues and says, something did go seriously awry with Maria after all. She had the gig and freaked out, apparently. It was a mutual decision for her mental health for her to step away literally days ago. Her decision allegedly left Bachelorette producers in a bind. The source continued, it was a scramble to pull in Jen last minute. Daisy also turned it down. And the cast isn't skewed for Jen at all, so it's a bit of a cluster.
Mm. Why wouldn't they show us this on the show, though?
I was honestly just thinking that because I feel like Claire, the Claytia of it all, people really enjoyed seeing what actually went down.
Totally.
And I feel like it would give a lot of answers to fans that were so diehard for Maria, like what actually happened. Mm-hmm. I obviously respect her decision if, like, this is best for her mental health. I just am curious, like, what it was that caused that. Because I feel like this is a situation she would have thrived.
I totally agree. And it's such a missed opportunity. If this is all true, such a missed opportunity to not show us. And that's why sometimes I get so frustrated with the show. I'm like, that would have been such good television. Like, the America's favorite, who's finally picked as the Bachelorette, it's so refreshing. But then she, not that I'm like wishing for her to have a breakdown, but it's like, then she has a breakdown, then they have to bring someone else in. Like, it would have been so good. Amazing television.
It could have been a good story too, her putting her mental health first and showing that, like, even though this is a great opportunity, I have to do what's best for me. And, like, she's such a girl's girl that she wanted to give the opportunity to another person on the show, like Jen.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like this could have been an interesting story. But it is crazy that they left, like, it kind of left them in a scramble because they're two top contenders. If the story with Maria is true, and mm-hmm. we know that Daisy turned it down because that's actually our next story. It is crazy that probably all season they're relying on those two. Like, well, it's going to be one of the two, whatever. And then for last minute to have to scramble. But now Jen's off and who knows? She could already be falling in love right now.
So true.
So true. So speaking of Daisy, she went on Vile Files. Daisy teased going on her favorite. She's like, I'm going on a podcast and I'm so excited to tell all. It's like my favorite podcast ever. And someone messaged me and asked if it was She's All Batch. And I'm like, girl, we wish.
If only. But
do you really think they'd be like, Daisy, go on the podcast where they expose us?
No, never.
But obviously, we'd love to talk with Daisy. She confirmed she was, in fact, asked to be Bachelorette, but her health was one of the main reasons she shut it down. And she shut down doing it in the future. Because I know you were one of the people that said, like, this is just, oh, she'll come back in a year. She'll be someone that comes back. She's like, I kind of feel like I'm done.
Did she say mental health or just like physical health?
I took it as physical. I have the clip.
Okay.
I took it as physical. She references sleep and how it's like 12-hour days, which if like, you know, that obviously takes a toll on your health, both mentally and physically. But this is what she said.
Health is like an aspect of it. Like it's a lot on you. You're like up super late. Like you're always.
It was the worst experience of my life.
And then I also, it's not that I'm not ready to date. It's that I wasn't ready for that specific thing.
Right.
I just want to live and like be happy. And I'm always going to jump at like opportunities. But I think this specific opportunity wasn't right for me right now.
Good for you. Most people in your position, including myself, don't have the guts to say no to an opportunity like that.
Like right now, I just felt like it was important that I kind of take control of my life and the path I want to do.
How long before AFR were you pretty clear that it wasn't for you?
I was very like open and honest about it and very transparent that I wasn't for sure if I wanted to do it, but like 2 weeks before.
Okay.
They were all super nice and like understood all of my reasons too. And they still like want to see me like grow and do other things. And they said, if we can help you in any way, like we want to.
That's awesome. Are you willing to leave the door open or are you pretty content with letting that go away?
Right now I'm content with letting that go away. And I know most people might not understand that. Everybody, I was posting on social media so much and they're like, she's like campaigning to be the Bachelorette. And I was like, no.
This may be like a hot take, but if it's for your mental health, of course, nothing is worth jeopardizing your mental health. If she's talking about her physical health, I'm kind of like, it's a once in a lifetime opportunity. Like, suck it up. Just don't sleep for a couple weeks.
Well, I think she has like Lyme's disease though.
She does?
I think so.
I thought she just, I mean, she obviously opened up on the show about like her hearing and her cochlear implant.
Wait, Daisy can't.
She never said Lyme disease. I mean, that's obviously different, but like...
Oh, she was diagnosed with Lyme disease at age 21.
Okay, yeah, that's like way more serious. And obviously Lyme disease is like a serious thing and like that's, because that makes you like very tired, like you physically can't do a lot.
Yeah.
Okay, fine. Yeah. Okay, but if she didn't have Lyme disease, I'm like, girl, suck it up. Like drink a little bit more coffee. Power through the once in a lifetime opportunity.
It also kind of makes you wonder, like, how crazy is it behind the scenes if people, she's like, it's not that I don't want to find love. I just don't want to be put through the torture chamber that is this show. And like Maria is filming for what, a week and she can't handle it and she has to quit.
Yeah.
After like already starting filming.
No,
that's
I know.
Just really makes you wonder.
100%. I think that's where the show has really been like messing up recently, where it's just like, all the people that come off the show as leads, like, never want to do it again. People are now hesitant to go into the leading role because they don't protect their leads. People don't want to go back on Paradise. So we're getting, like, bottom of the barrel night one people to kind of fulfill.
Bottom of the barrel people.
That wasn't nice. I know. But, like.
Just, like, people faces we don't really know as well.
Yeah. Like, we just talked to Hannah Brown last week. And it's like, wouldn't that have been amazing if she like had a great experience and would have wanted to do round two of The Bachelorette?
Well, one, they don't know that we're interviewing Hannah Brown.
We are interviewing. No, didn't we say it in something?
Patreon on Friday.
Okay, so the patrons know.
We're interviewing Hannah. Do we want to keep that or is it like us?
It's literally coming out on Thursday. So Okay, tomorrow.
Okay.
Yeah, it's fine. You guys know.
Okay.
It's coming.
But two, she also didn't say she didn't want to go back. Don't put words in her mouth, especially since they told us not about that line specifically.
But don't you think she would have never gone back?
I don't know. She didn't say that.
You think those conversations weren't had with Hannah Brown after all of that? Like, I'm sure they were.
IDK. Also, Daisy's saying that she told them 2 weeks. So they had 2 weeks. So maybe they shifted from Daisy over to Maria then in the last 2 weeks. And then Maria went south and then they had to scramble. Because I do believe that Jen was last minute given like how little they did to prep that up.
Yeah.
And like make it a big celebration.
No, I know.
They're like, oh, all right, give us a shot and tell us that it's shot o'clock. It'll be cute. It's fine. Like they didn't have like a plan to... Yeah. Make this a moment.
No, I know.
Anyway, our next story, I feel like you're really going to like.
Oh my gosh.
So this is like unverified. This is someone on Reddit that claims that someone saw Victoria Fuller and Pilot Pete together canoodling. Ah. Now, there are comments that maybe this person didn't speak to them. It was from far away. And people are like, well, could she have mistaken Ek and Sue for Victoria? Who we don't know. We're okay. Just sharing and speculating.
Fuel your team with Total Coffee from Staples Business Advantage. Our comprehensive program offers no upfront cost brewers, installation, maintenance, and supplies. Plus, our incredible selection of coffee and beverages, including our new Pick-Me-Up Provisions brand. We handle everything from finding the best brewer to providing ongoing service, all at no cost with your minimum monthly spend on breakroom products. Visit staplesadvantage.com/totalcoffee to get started.
But the story says, a friend of mine swears by this. Apparently, Victoria Fuller and Pilot Pete were together canoodling a little over a week ago at some event. I'm not sure what I can post, especially without getting downvoted. But oh my God, that would confirm that Victoria and Greg are done. And Barb season is the season that keeps on giving. Now that Pilot Pete's star is on the rise with Traitors, I guess it makes sense that Pilot Pete is more of a catch than Greg. That's subjective. Victoria would be interested.
Wow.
I mean, I feel like this would like shake your world. I mean, it shook my world too. I feel like I'm so here for this if this is a thing.
Yeah.
Just for like our entertainment and content purposes.
It would be wild if true, just given how their relationship ended on the show. Like, super random. But I guess, you know, it's always nice to go back to a familiar fling, a familiar flame. And also, I've thought Greg and Victoria are done for a while. Like, they haven't posted each other in a minute. I don't think that relationship ever really had strong legs.
I think it had strong legs at one point, but I think we just need to move on from the fact that I think people are holding out for the breakup announcement. And I think when it's been this long and it's this clear that they both are maybe like in different places, that it ain't coming, guys. We got to just move on. People just keep saying it because I think until they say it's over, it ain't over till it's over.
I know, but why don't they just say it then? Like,
because they don't have to.
I know, but in a way, I'm like, you owe us that much. Like, you have profited so much from us being invested in your love story. Just let us know so we can move on. We need to move on, personally.
I don't think they care that to move on.
I know they don't, but it's just not nice for us little guys over here.
Okay, and then also, let's say it wasn't Ek and Sue. Let's say it really was them, because this story's actually backed up that they apparently were at the same event.
Okay.
And there's like commentary. There's no proof in the pictures of the event that they were canoodling, but I think they could have like ran into each other at an event. It's like, oh my God, old times. You're sitting next to each other. You're having drinks. You're laughing and maybe even being flirty. Mm-hmm. And like literally that's where it ends.
I was going to say, I need someone to define canoodling because like, yes, I think canoodling could just be chatty, flirty, friendly, like enjoying that. And then they go their separate ways and then they don't really talk. Or canoodling can be like, oh, we're in a corner, like sitting closely snuggled up.
I think you could be in a corner snuggled up and then like literally never see them again though too.
Yeah. Because
it could just be like, oh, it's so good to see you. It's even maybe bringing back feelings for like an hour.
Totally.
Because drinks are flowing and I'm getting flirty with you. But like, that's where it ends.
Yeah.
So I'm not like holding my breath that like this is going to be a couple. Because someone also pointed out, wasn't Victoria good friends with Kelly? This is like, if she like dates him, that's kind of odd. And Kelly's someone he dated in real life, not like fake world
TV. Yeah, I guess. Were they friends, Victoria and Kelly?
Yeah, I feel like they all were.
Yeah, I guess that could be potentially a little bit messy. I don't think they're really going to date or anything.
I don't
think
either.
This is just like, oh, I'm hot, you're hot. We've had some drinks. Like, let's chat and like enjoy the mutual like attention that we're going to give each other. But poor Akinsu. Right. Where's Akinsu?
Oh, I don't know. I mean, so she doesn't live in the U.S. apparently. So maybe she isn't here anymore because they're not filming.
True. So they're now long distance.
Yeah. Oh, I don't know. It is crazy, though. Like, if this were to be a thing, how many girls he's gone back to after.
I know.
Like, this is now, like, going back to Maddie, Hannah Brown, Kelly. This would be four.
Yeah.
Is that it? That's it? It's only four? I guess, but I mean, Hannah Ann would be five, but he didn't go back to her.
Sure.
Ugh. That we know of.
It is my dream to have, like, Bachelor in Paradise, just, like, Peter Weber's old season. And it's just Peter and all the girls that were on his season. And we put him on an island and, like, see what happens. I don't know.
And since we spoiled so that we're talking to Hannah Brown tomorrow, we ask her about when she went back to Peter's season.
Yeah.
And when Peter asked, when he's like, what would you say if I asked you to come back? Like, he doesn't just flat out ask her to come back. He says, like, what would you say if I did? Mm-hmm. And we ask her, like, point blank, like, was there a moment that you actually were considering that? And it's very interesting to hear her take. So come back tomorrow for that interview. All right, moving on. So this story, a week old, but we did take a week off. So I wanted to touch on it because I have some thoughts. Gary and Teresa made TMZ for the news that they're living separately. However, they are still head over heels. So it's not like they're living separately because things are going bad. Sources close to Golden Bachelor stars tell TMZ the couple who married in a Golden wedding on January 4th are doing the long distance thing, with Gary chilling in his Indiana house and Teresa is in New Jersey. We're told there are a few reasons why they haven't taken the leap to live together just yet. And a lot has to do with the fact that moving is a complete hassle. Like, that's weird to me.
Yeah. This is all really weird to me because they're married. If they weren't married already, I would be like, okay, that's normal, actually. You know, they got engaged. They're still dating. They're still getting to know each other. I think it's normal on this show to have, like, a long engagement to really actually see if in the real world you guys make sense. But they literally got married. To not be living with your husband or wife feels crazy.
And just, like, the reasons that TMZ lists, though, we're told they've each got their own established homes in their respective states, and moving everything into one pad would be time-consuming. It's like, oh, man, I really don't feel like doing that. But, like, I'm a grown adult and I'm married, so why don't I just do it? This is, like, kind of bringing me back to when Gary said to Leslie, we'll just get engaged and figure it out later. Remember he said something like we don't have to figure it out now. Like, no, you kind of do, because or else you'll live in a long distance relationship when you're married. That's what happens when you don't figure it out until you're already engaged.
I could see how it's, like, a little bit more difficult for them, because it's like they have lived, like, a whole life. They each, like, have their own houses, all of, like, their stuff. I understand how as you get older, I think it becomes more difficult to, like, join your life with someone. Are they maybe just, like, onto something that you can casually just, like, be married and have a partner in life, but, like, keep your own separate houses and, like, do your own thing and keep your own lives?
I don't think so.
Is that kind of a slay, best of both worlds? I don't know.
Obviously, this isn't what this is, but this is bringing me back to when Clayton and Susie moved out.
Yeah.
And we were like, wait, this is the end of the beginning. Or this is the beginning of the end, sorry. And this, I obviously two totally different situations, but this feels weird. The only thing different is, like, they've never lived together, so it's not like they're taking a step back. They're just not taking a step forward. The article also sources, like, that they both have, like, kids and grandkids. Totally get it, but, like, what were you expecting?
Yeah.
You knew this. You knew this prior to getting engaged and married. So, I mean, if it works for them, okay. Well, literally the next sentence. We're told this current long-distance arrangement works for them. They've seen each other several times and make it a priority to make visits. He's been to Jersey a few times, and Teresa's planning to go to Indiana next month. I don't know why.
Okay, that just doesn't sound like a marriage. Like that.
The semantics of that sentence, like, they've seen each other several times. Mm-hmm. He's been to Jersey a few times, and Teresa's going to Indiana next month. A few times is three.
Yeah.
You guys have been married since January.
Yeah. Because I was going to say, maybe it's a situation where, like, they live separately, but they're always kind of together. Like, they
every weekend they get together.
To Teresa's house for a couple weeks, then they go to Gary's house. And they're just, like, kind of living, like, their best life of, like, having two homes. But that doesn't sound like what this is.
That's a really good point. That, like, if they wanted to, like, they both have, you know, set up lives in these different states. Okay, for January, we're going to live in Jersey, spend time with Teresa's family. Okay, but for February, we're going to go to Indiana. I don't, guys, I want them to last forever. I don't think this
I know, it's not promising.
I don't think it's promising.
That would be more normal because at least they're together. But it doesn't seem like they're together that much.
And like, who are the sources? I'm always skeptical of like TMZ's sources. I always think it's like the actual person.
Like Teresa is calling them up and telling them.
Well, I mean, like everyone says that like Kris Jenner literally is the source for all of like the Kardashian ones.
Well, I believe that Kris Jenner is calling up TMZ. I believe less that Teresa is calling up TMZ, but maybe.
Well, I guess because like they make it a point to say in this article, like this is not an issue in the relationship. They're still head over heels. They're still madly in love, which I believe.
I mean, maybe they're just treating it like they're still dating and getting to know. Like, I know they're technically married, but it was an on-TV wedding. Maybe they were just like, hey, let's ride this wave for as long as we can, get all the perks, all the opportunities we can from our 15 minutes of fame on this TV show. But the fact of the matter still is they haven't known each other that long, so they're still kind of feeling it out. They're just doing things a little out of order. They're like gonna get married on paper, then date, get to know each other, then like move in. I don't know.
Yeah, I mean, whatever works for you guys. I'm just, my opinion is I think this was just surprising, but yeah. I'm happy to hear that the article makes it clear they're still happy. One of the last lines is, at some point, we're told, they're going to get this figured out. Like, this does not seem like a priority at all. Using words like a few, next month, like, there's it's not, there's no system in place. Like, oh, every weekend, Gary flies to Jersey. Like, something. Right. Sorry, my Apple Watch again is telling me. It just said, I'm off to a great start. Thanks, Apple Watch.
Oh my God, good. That's so exciting.
It's not telling me to stand. I did the treadmill.
Oh, I was going to say, usually when you work out in the morning, then it'll tell you later on, you're off to a great start. And it's like, thank you.
Thanks, Watch. But yeah, I mean, I want them to be together forever. So if this is what works for them, that's fine. I mean, Teresa still has her like baller job where she makes all her money. So obviously she doesn't want to quit that. Yeah, doesn't she still do,
like... Is she not retired?
No, I don't know. I think this article even says it. Hold on.
Oh. So, I mean, slay, if so.
Teresa's still working in New Jersey and has yet to decide what she's going to do about her job as a compliance officer.
Okay.
So, yeah, she still has the job.
So maybe that's one of the reasons why she's hesitant to move.
Sure. But then, like, Gary...
But then, like, Gary, come over. Yeah, like, you go spend time in New Jersey with Teresa to support her job. Because what's Gary's job? Former Golden Bachelor?
I think he's retired.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Retired restaurateur. We knew that.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, I don't know. Just interesting. Wanted to share. I don't know really where I stand. But if it works for you guys, it works for me. That's all I'll say.
So true.
This episode is sponsored by BetterHelp. Guys, there is nothing more important than your mental health, and therapy gives you the tools and the resources to help better your mental health. Jackie and I are both in therapy, and what's really cool about BetterHelp is that no matter where you are, you can always find time for therapy because they make it that convenient. Your actual sessions are online, but also like the whole process of finding a therapist, that's all done online as well. And they just like take all the legwork out of it for you to find like that really great match.
Totally. Yeah. I think sometimes the most intimidating part about starting therapy is figuring out like what therapist either works with your insurance or even just finding places to call. And BetterHelp takes all of that guesswork out for you. You just kind of fill out a brief survey and they match you with people. And the best part too is like, if you don't connect with the first person they match you with, you can just easily switch to another therapist till you find that perfect match, because therapy is just such a personal experience. So if you guys are thinking of starting therapy, I definitely recommend giving BetterHelp a try. Learn to make time for what makes you happy with BetterHelp. You guys can visit betterhelp.com/she'sallbatch today. And that gets you 10% off your entire first month of therapy. So that's BetterHelp, HELP.com/she'sallbatch.
Okay, this morning I did the treadmill, went into the shower, was doing skincare, and I was putting on my Oak Essentials Moisture Rich Balm, and my skin so soft and dewy. Guys, if you have not tried Oak Essentials Moisture Rich Balm, it is a fan favorite on this podcast. Oak Essentials line is full of luxurious products that really work, especially if you're trying to achieve that natural, no makeup, dewy look. The brand aims to unlock like healthy, glowing skin with decadent, hydrating ingredients that give you that dewy glow.
It gives you the hydration of using like petroleum jelly on your skin, but it doesn't have like that stickiness or that like heaviness. It's, I don't know how they do it. It can be so light and moisturizing, but not thick and goopy. Like you have like I don't know, like snail slug stuff all over your face. So definitely go check it out. I don't know. Well, that's what they call when you put petroleum jelly all over your face. It's called slugging because you like are locking in the products. I don't know. Google slugging. But
Oak Essentials also has other products. I actually have their body lotion on my nightstand.
Yeah, it smells so good.
Because like when I get out of the shower, I love to like lotion my whole body. And like Oak Essentials just knows what's up with hydrating skin. And I love doing the face, but the body, it's got it going on there too. Oh, also they have the amazing lip balm. Like definitely go to Oak Essentials website and check it out. We use these products regularly. She's All Batch listeners get 15% off plus a free organic honey-based restorative mask with their first order when they use code SHE'SALLBATCH15 at checkout. That's 15% off plus a free gift with your first order at OAKESSENTIALS.com, promo code SHE'SALLBATCH15. Go ahead and treat yourself. From luxurious skincare to meaningful self-care, you deserve it.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home. Everybody ready, going crazy, yeah, we're out. Come on and let me hear you say it now, right now. What time is it? Bachelor encounter time. So Bachelor Encounters is when you guys submit your stories of meeting Bachelor Nation in the wild, and we read about it on air, and it's a good time. Are you excited for the time we're about to have?
Yeah, I'm excited and scared. I feel like I'm a little nervous. What do we have in store? I don't know. Weird things are happening in the world. The eclipse.
Oh, yes.
I'm very stressed about it. I don't know. Just feel the vibes are off? I just think the vibes are not good today.
My vibes have not been on in a minute, but you were saying before we started recording that Mercury, what's going on?
Well, so a lot. So Mercury is in retrograde, and it has been since the end of March or like April 1st, and it's going to be for like 3 weeks, which is a long time for Mercury to be in retrograde. And with the eclipse, apparently it's supposed to affect like Aries, Capricorn, Libra, and I want to say Taurus the most. I'm an Aries, you're a Capricorn.
But like in what way?
I don't know. I was watching a lot of TikToks about it. And basically it says like eclipses are all about like fate and like hitting your destiny. I think it's going to change our lives in a good way, but something's going to change for us. Wow. Like we're finally going to like come into our own and feel like all of the work that we've done for years and years and years. They said since 2008, we will finally feel the fruits of our labor after this eclipse. Cause then it's going into like a different season.
So it's good. It's a good
for
thing.
For different signs.
So why
hopefully,
are you stressed?
I don't know. Cause like, hopefully it's supposed to be good, but don't you just feel like everyone's feeling like crazy?
I just thought it was me. Maybe
no,
it's everyone.
No, and with Mercury in retrograde, you're not supposed to make big decisions on anything when Mercury is in retrograde because like, communication is off and like it kind of affects like technology. And yeah, no, they say like they're like, don't sign any contracts, don't make any decisions while Mercury is in retrograde.
Wow.
I know.
That's funny.
And that is funny that we were having like conversations about like podcast stuff last week and just trying to like figure things out. That was in the back of my mind where I was like, we can't make any rash decisions because of Mercury being in retrograde.
Well,
we need to revisit like when it's done.
Okay. Wow.
I know.
Fun fact, we're going to give it to Bachelor Encounters.
Yeah.
But the solar eclipse thing today. I'm not even like going outside to look at it.
Well, no,
I know that's like,
but you
I
have
know,
to get the glasses. Be careful. You have to get the glasses.
And I'm not, and I don't have the glasses and I don't want to go and like rush to find glasses. And I don't trust my toddler to keep the glasses on. So I am going to just
not look at it.
Forego. Yeah. I just, not like I don't care, but I don't care, I don't think. I know it's like, that's like a bad, horrible thing
It's not horrible. I mean, it's just your opinion. Like,
it's just the sun, isn't it? Like, it's
no,
just
the moon is going over the sun.
I've seen pictures. I could Google it.
I know. I don't know like how dark it's going to get for us like in New York. Because in certain parts of upstate New York, I think that's when it fully covers the sun. So it literally will get dark in the middle of the day for like a couple minutes, I think. I don't think it's anything that big. But for us, I don't know what we're going to experience.
Yeah. I mean, I'll look out my window. I'll be present in the moment. Mm-hmm. I'm not going outside.
I'll go outside if I can. Apparently, everywhere in New York City, in libraries, they're giving out the glasses for free. So if I can get some glasses, I'll go outside, like on my rooftop and see.
My husband was like, who's vetting these glasses? How do you know for sure?
That is a good point.
That, like, this isn't just, like, 3D glasses from, like, a movie in the 90s. Who's to say if it's actually doing anything? And, like, who do you yell at or, like, hold accountable if you do get eye damage? That's kind of, like, we're all very trusting of these, like, paper glasses from Amazon. Just saying.
No, that's true. That's a good point.
You guys are all going to, like, your eyeballs are going to be hurting and mine are going to be pristine because I didn't go outside. Joke's on you.
What I don't get is I'm like, why is it? I know it's like not great to look at the sun in general, but like I look at it all the time and like my eyes are fine. So why is it like different when the moon is going in front of it? Like, does it make the sun stronger or should I just not be looking at the sun in general? Probably that one, but.
Yes, definitely that one, but also it has to make it stronger if like everyone's needing to put on like goggles in order to look at the outside.
But that's because like you don't normally like look at the sun, but now everyone is because they're going to want to see it.
Just look in its vicinity. Like don't look directly at it.
Yeah, but then you can't see the moon, I think. I don't know what we're going to see.
We're recording this Monday, obviously, guys. So this is before this actually happens. Who knows? Something crazy may happen.
Stephanie, for Aries and Capricorn, something crazy is going to happen.
Hopefully it's good. I'm just like so sick of the world.
And tomorrow's my birthday. So like a lot is going on. I don't know. A lot of happy vibes.
Happy early birthday.
Thanks. And by the time you guys are listening to this, it'll be happy late birthday. Happy belated birthday.
You've missed it.
Yeah.
All right, let's get into Bachelor Encounters. This first one's about Gabby. So this says...
Wait, can you please read the whole encounter in Gabby's voice? Yeah, thank you. Yeah.
Hi, Stephanie. I have a very small Bachelor Encounter.
I'm sorry. You sound like someone who's like 1-800, like talk to sexy ladies phone call.
Yeah. Okay, help me, help me.
Yeah. Hold on. Let me get into character.
Yeah, so he's like your type. So me and Robbie were going to Erewhon and
Sound like her? No, I'm just making up something that I feel like Gabby would say.
I have a very small Bachelor Encounter. I don't think I could do it. I'll have to hear how this sounds back.
This doesn't like
yeah, what?
When I did it the other time, I was like, oh my God, Gabby is on the podcast right now. Yeah. But now I don't think I'm really channeling her.
You guys.
Thank you.
Why are those the words we go to? Like, your type, to really get
her quotes.
Well, now she has a podcast, so we can hear it all the time.
Hey, guys, it's me, Gabby Windy.
You nail, like, the deepness, but also the high-pitchedness at the same time. It's like, you have to have the low part, but also, like, kind of like a little nasally part in there, too. And I feel like you've mastered it.
Yeah.
All right, I'm going to read this normally. Hi, Stephanie. I have a very small Bachelor Encounter. In March of 2023, I went to Dancing with the Stars live tour because I'm obsessed with Gabby Windy. While I was there, I had seen Genevieve and Kate from Clayton's season. I'd gotten up to get a drink, and I also saw them in the auditorium bar. I was very nervous to go up to them because they looked a little standoffish, yet so gorgeous in person. However, they were so nice. We didn't snap any pictures, but I told them how much I enjoyed seeing them on Paradise. Not a super exciting story, but thought I'd share how sweet they were. Love to hear it.
Great.
Next one. Hey, Stephanie, I have a couple of Bachelor Encounters from several years ago that I've always meant to send in. This first one is the most random. I live in Dallas and used to live on the same street JoJo and Jordan lived on. I found out because of my one coworker's friend also lived on that street and recognized their house in a photo JoJo posted on her Instagram. It had a recognizable orange door. Anyway, I used to casually walk or jog by their house hoping to see them. This was around 2016. One day, as I was running down the street, I saw a couple on a motor scooter, the big kind that you sit on, not sure what they're called. And I had a moment where I saw Jordan's face and thought it was someone I knew because my brain hadn't registered who it was. I then saw JoJo sitting behind him on the scooter, and they both looked at me and smiled as they passed by. It finally clicked with me who it was, and I just stared before I could think to do anything else. Is it a Vespa? What's it called?
What do you mean? Like a scooter? Electric scooter?
It's like a big scooter that you sit on.
Oh, that's giving Vespa, right?
Or motorcycle, if you don't know that term.
Yeah. So not like one of the little, like, have you seen like the bird scooters? They're like little motorized scooters, but you stand on them.
Yeah, no. This was like a, almost like a motorcycle. Like what they ride around in.
In Lizzie
like
McGuire. Europe.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I was going to say Luca, but yeah, same thing.
Luca? What's Luca?
The Disney movie.
Is that a new Disney movie?
It's newish, and People compared Luca to Joey. They look like twins.
Oh,
I'll send you the photo after.
Yeah, I'm really not up to date on the new like Disney movies.
Yeah, I know,
because I don't have a child to watch them with me. You know, like I never saw Frozen 2. I never.
Oh, don't even worry about Frozen 2. My God, that's insulting.
But you wouldn't watch it because Charlie wouldn't watch Frozen 2, right? Like, because he's a boy. That's a girl movie.
He loves Frozen. Frozen's
aww, cute.
And like he has all like his musical books and he will like request Elsa. But he loves all like his boy movies too. He doesn't judge. He doesn't discriminate. Any movie is good for him if it has fun music. But Frozen 2 is garbage. So don't worry about it. While we're on that topic real quick, guys, if anyone listening has seen the movie Encanto, which is a...
Oh, love Encanto.
Oh, my God. Okay. Wait, I have questions.
Okay.
I don't...
Like, really?
Yeah,
you didn't understand what was going on?
No, I mean, I haven't understood, like, several times that I've watched it. And we watch it a lot. My son really loves the music. We'll drive to school, and he's like, don't talk a Bruno. And I'm like, okay.
You want to know something so embarrassing?
What?
When was that really popular? 2022?
I have no clue.
We Don't Talk About Bruno was like very high on my Spotify Wrapped that year. And I don't even have a child. What the fuck is wrong with me that I was listening to We Don't Talk About Bruno so much just by myself?
It came out November 2021.
Right. So then I think for 2021 into 2022, like at the end of the year when Spotify does a Spotify Wrapped, We Don't Talk About Bruno was like my number two most played song. That's so embarrassing.
It's not.
I'm a grown ass, but you have a child. That makes sense that you would be playing it a lot. Why am I playing We Don't Talk About Bruno and like singing it in my own apartment? I mean, it's
the best song.
A bop. I know.
It is so good. Okay, question.
Okay, sure.
Oh, God. I wasn't prepared on the spot, but like when I watch, I'm just like, I have so many questions.
Okay.
Sorry, guys, if you don't know the movie, but was Bruno bad or not? Because at the end, like, they're like, he told me my fish would die the next day. Dead. Yeah. That would have happened anyway.
Well,
he told me I'd grow
point.
A gut
he's
and
like
then
this,
just...
He's like the scapegoat. They're blaming him for all these things, but, like, it's clearly not his fault. Like, he's just the one who's telling it. But, like, that would have happened regardless.
So they all didn't talk to this person in their family just because, like...
Because they needed someone to blame. Yeah, I've heard a lot of people talk about how, like, the whole thing in Encanto, like, has to do with, like, generational trauma and how, like, all the different ways that it can, like, manifest. And one of the ways is, like, the person who kind of calls out the dysfunction or the person who is not going along with the narrative, which is Bruno, is the one that gets, like, scapegoated and ostracized and, like, kicked out in order for, like, the dysfunction to remain. And the whole thing is, like, the grandma is, like, the one passing down her trauma. You know what I mean? But she's not even doing it intentionally. It's just because she had a tough upbringing and she's bringing it down and putting all these pressure on all these kids with their gifts and they're being mean to Mirabelle because she doesn't have a gift. And
don't even get me started with Abuela.
Yeah.
Abuela like needs to take several seats. Like at the end when she's like, I like our new foundation. Mm-hmm. And Abuela's like, it isn't perfect.
Well,
shut
but that's
up,
the
Abuela.
Whole thing. That's the,
but
that's
shut
the trauma
up.
And the pressure she's putting on all of them. And then like, what's the flower girl one? Like she's the golden
Isabella.
Child that they get that gets put on a pedestal. And then Luisa, is it the mm-hmm. bigger one? She's the one who like is kind of trying to hold everything together and keep the peace. So it's like, I think they're all playing different archetypes of like the ways children experience generational trauma.
It is crazy. That's the underlying like storyline in this movie is generational trauma.
I know. And Mirabelle breaks the curse. Because she's the gift, you know?
Abuela needs to go to therapy. She should go to betterhelp.com.
100%.
She's all bad. Unpack some of that trauma, Abuela.
No, it's true. It is a really good movie, though. I did like Encanto.
Wait, I didn't finish my question, though. So,
Okay. We're still on it. Okay, yes.
In We Don't Talk About Bruno, everyone's mm-hmm. saying, like, things that Bruno said that ended up causing them something that bad to happen.
Yeah.
But then Isabella, the golden child, says, he told me that the man of my dreams would be, like, something good. It's, like, mm-hmm. a good thing. And then everyone else gets bad things. Why does she get a good thing? No one ever explains that. And then at the end of the song, it's, like, the best part of the song when he's, like, Isabella, your boyfriend's here. Time for dinner.
7 foot frame. Oh, I haven't heard that song in so long. I'm gonna play it after this.
I listen to it daily.
Yeah, about that Bruno. I really need to know about Bruno. Give me the truth and the whole truth.
Who's her boyfriend, and why was that like the peak of the song? And what does that have to do with Bruno? And why did she get good things, but everyone else got bad things?
Well, I think it wasn't a good thing because he was with the other sister, right? Like, he ends up with her. The flower one. He was betrothed to another.
That was Dolores. I don't know all their names. Dolores is the one.
He told me that the man of my dreams would be just out of reach, betrothed to another. So she's like longing for him, but he's with Isabella. Isabella, your boyfriend's here. But then at the end, I think they end up getting together, right?
You're mixing up Dolores and Isabella. Isabella is the flower girl. Dolores is the one that can hear from miles away, who I resonate with the most. And if I was in the musical, I think I would want to be Dolores.
Yeah.
So Isabella says,
but isn't the boyfriend's with Isabella at first, but he was meant to be with Dolores. And that's what Bruno told Dolores, was that the man of her dreams would be just out of reach, betrothed to another.
Isabella says, he told me that the life of my dreams would be promised and someday be mine. He told me that my power would grow like the grapes that thrive on the vine. That's good. And then Dolores says, he told me that the man of my dreams would be just out of reach, betrothed to another.
Because he's with Isabella.
So Isabella's getting the life of her dreams by Dolores low-key stealing the boyfriend at the end. Doesn't make sense.
I don't think Isabella's is like related to the boyfriend. I think it's just her like being like a princess with flowers and like living her best life. Because there was nothing bad that happened to Isabella. She was everyone's favorite.
I just feel like for that line to be like the climax of the song, I don't even know who the fuck her boyfriend is. Why was that like the peak? It seems like, and that's the part of the movie where like Mirabelle's piecing together a picture of Bruno. And like you think when you're watching it for the first time, it's going to be like, oh my God, what did she uncover? She didn't uncover anything. They just have been like scapegoating Bruno this whole time.
Yeah. But didn't she discover that like she was going to be the one to save the house or something?
How? I don't know.
Well, but right, because the house keeps breaking and she saves it at the end by like healing everyone. And isn't that what she put together? It was like a picture of like the house and her like saving it.
Oh, I thought the picture was of Bruno, the green picture.
I don't remember. Like, I have not seen this movie you've definitely seen it more than me. Yeah. So like I don't remember. Really?
Yeah.
Ugh, I love Encanto. I should watch it.
I mean, we shouldn't talk about Bruno though, because we are strictly instructed not to. So we are breaking the rule. Mm-hmm. But like, sound off. This could be a great sound off topic. But like, if you guys have thoughts on this, or if you are equally confused, holler at your girls.
Yeah, we can do a deep dive into this. Did you ever see Moana? I never saw that one.
Of course I saw Moana.
Yeah, see, like, these newer ones I don't see that much.
How did we get into this? Oh, Vespas. Yeah, so in conclusion, I think JoJo and Jordan were on a Vespa.
How did Vespa get to Encanto?
Luca. New Disney movies, Encanto.
Okay, yeah.
Okay.
Got it.
This person also submitted another one, but before we get into the next Bachelor Encounter, I am wearing Lumi Whole Body Deodorant, and I told you guys, when I wear this deodorant, I don't have body odor, ever. And the cool thing about Lumi is you can put it anywhere on your body, like below the belt, on your feet, your armpits, like literally anywhere you get odor, Lumi has got you covered, and once you try it and experience it for yourself, you won't go back to any other deodorant.
And we have a special offer for new customers. You guys can get 15% off all Lumi products with our exclusive code and link. So you can use code SHESALLBATCH at LumiDeodorant.com. And that is 15% off all Lumi products. So go check out and see what they have, because they have like a lot of good stuff. I'm literally obsessed with the body wash and the little stick deodorant I like to keep in my purse for like a little spruce.
And unlike traditional deodorants that try to mask odor with a fragrance, Lumi is actually formulated and powered by mandelic acid, so it stops odor before it starts. That's why you don't smell bad ever when you wear it, because it's like a pre-odorant, not a deodorant. So again, the link is LumiDeodorant.com, L-U-M-E, deodorant.com, and use code SHESALLBATCH for 15% off your first purchase. LumiDeodorant.com, code SHESALLBATCH.
The living room is where you make life's most beautiful memories.
But your sofa shouldn't be the one remembering them. The new life-resistant, high-performance furniture collection from Ashley is designed to withstand all the spills, slip-ups, and muddy paws that come with the best parts of life. Ashley high-performance sofas and recliners are soft, on-trend, and easy to clean. Shop the high-performance furniture in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley, for the love of home.
All right, let's get... Are you ready for this bachelor encounter?
I think. I don't know.
Yeah, be ready.
Okay.
I haven't read it yet.
Whether I'm ready or not, it's coming.
True. My next encounter is from November 2017 when my roommate had extra tickets and me to a charity ball. Sean and Catherine were there and I was fangirling so much that I awkwardly went up to Sean and asked for a photo. Didn't seem like anyone else was asking them and I guess it wasn't the proper thing to do. But my philosophy is that I'm never going to see a celebrity again. I might as well risk the embarrassment of trying to talk to them. Sean awkwardly said, okay, and smiled as my friend took the picture. I said thanks and didn't know what else to say, so I walked off. Anyway, the photo turned out blurry, so I had to screenshot it from my IG because it's so old and it wasn't saved on my phone. So it was a charity ball. So yeah, I guess maybe he wasn't like wanting to take pictures there.
Yeah. Were they just attending the ball or were they like at the charity ball like for the charity?
I would assume they were guests. Like, I don't think they were working it.
Not working it, but like, I don't know, like part of the charity is like to get other people to want to pay and go. It like they're being used as like, oh, and Sean and Catherine will be like guests of honor, more or less.
I would think not, given how this went down.
Yeah,
if they were guests of honor, they should expect that people would want to go up to them and take pictures.
Yeah.
I've never shared that, like, I met Sean and Catherine. I have a bachelor encounter.
Wait, you've never shared?
No, I've, like, literally forgot until this.
Oh, my God.
Yeah, I said it.
Well, we talk about them so much. How could this never come up?
We really don't. They're not people that are top of mind very often. And, like, my encounter isn't that special. But I was working in New York City, and there was, like, a thing in, I guess, Times Square.
Oh, yeah. You have talked about this. Maybe not on the podcast, but I remember you telling – you shared a picture somewhere. I've seen this picture.
Maybe in the Facebook group, like, a long time ago. But there was something in Times Square where literally it was Sean and Catherine. I don't remember, like, bodyguards or, like, assistants or anyone else there. And they just sat at a table, and they had roses, and they were just giving out roses. And I don't really get what the purpose was. I don't know if it was just something they were doing for, like, publicity or to meet fans or what. But, like, I worked, like, a few blocks away. So on my lunch break, I'm like, I'm just going to go. And I went with a coworker and we got a picture. Mm-hmm. And they were really nice. But I think in that setting, they're obviously expecting people to come and take photos.
Yeah. Was this around, like, his season airing? Like,
no.
Was it promotion
The
Bachelor,
not at all.
In general?
No. They were definitely already, like, an established, even married couple, I think, at this time. I don't think it was, like, several years later, but I don't think, like, their season was recent at that point.
Maybe it was just promotion for The Bachelor in general.
Yeah, because they're giving out roses. There has to be something there. But, like, I don't
– Yeah.
Well, actually, I feel like I'll have to find the photo. But I think there was a sign that said, will you accept this rose? So it was. But I guess, like, what does that really do for them?
I don't know, get people excited about the show. Like,
that's why I've never shared the story, I don't think, because I don't think it's that interesting, but, like, just weird. But they were nice. I remember Catherine had, like, blonde highlights at the time that I thought looked pretty on her. Mm. That's really it. This next one, my blanket's feeling a little wet.
Oh, no.
This next one's about Greggy. No, I think he was actually nice in this one. Hi, I'm submitting the Bachelor encounter that I previewed in the Facebook group, but it's going to be a couple parts because it's so long. Okay. Last night, I attended Jason Tardik's book event in Chicago. I've actually met Jason a few times now, once at one of Caitlin's live podcast events and once at his previous book tour. Side note, I ended up on stage competing as a Bachelor contestant and won an entire case of Grocery Store Joe's sauce at Jason's first book event in 2022, but that's a story for another time. Submit that one, too.
Yeah, seriously.
For this most recent encounter, the event was sponsored by Capital One, so it was at one of their cafes in Chicago. The event was free and it was packed. They had to add chairs to the upstairs level, and my friends and I ended up sitting front row on the balcony upstairs. It was nice because we had a bird's eye view, but we weren't as involved in the action. The dynamic duo, Andrew and Greg, Wet Blanket Energy Grippo, were guests, as well as Natalie and Deepti from Love is Blind, but they didn't really speak except to share a trading secret at the end of the event. The rest of the event included some Price is Right style games and a Shark Tank style competition. After the event, Jason was taking pictures and signing books. Everyone there got a free copy, and they even gave out cookies with the book's design on it. My friend and I went to the bathroom before getting in line, so we ended up dead last for pictures with Jason. While we were waiting in line, Andrew walked by, and I stopped him to say hi. Another side note, a few years ago, he was the guest at Caitlin's podcast event, and I ended up dancing with him to a Britney song. So I went up to him to say he probably didn't remember, but I danced with him. He said that it did actually ring a bell, and he told me he and Greg are going to be a guest on Caitlin's pod when she's in Iowa, which I did actually, that already happened in real life. Mm-hmm. A minute later, Greg came by and Andrew told him I'd met him at Caitlin's show before, and Greg went to shake my hand and say, "I'm Greg." I stupidly just said, "I know, I watched The Bachelor." They both laughed and asked what I thought of the finale. I asked if Greg was visiting Andrew, and he said he's actually on a short-term lease here. And this is Chicago. So what we were talking about earlier in the episode, I think this tracks. And I asked if they had any other travel plans besides Iowa, and they do, but I forget what they were. The whole thing was partially a blur because Greg's low-key more stunning in person, and it made me flustered. But I will say I detected zero WBE from him. I asked if I can get a picture, and Andrew seemed a little hesitant. So I asked if he was sure, and he said he just didn't want to take away the spotlight from Jason, which was nice. I told him I'd keep a low profile and that I'd only be posting it in the She's All Batch Facebook group. Then I said, "Greg was on the pod, right? Totally forgot you all interviewed Andrew until he said that he was too." So they remembered us.
Yay!
We said our goodbyes and then I went up to get a picture with Jason and he remembered me from the past times. He even said, "I didn't see you in the crowd since I was upstairs." He asked me how things have been going and told me how chaotic the tour has been. But he seemed happy and really excited about all the cool things he's doing to promote the book. Overall, 10 out of 10 experience with this Bachelor encounter. I highly recommend going to one of Jason's events if he comes to your city. Sorry this was so long. No apologies. That you have like so many Bachelor encounters within that one that you need to submit the other ones. Also, thank you for bringing us up to Greg and Andrew.
I know. That's so exciting that they – I guess like – why would they forget, like, literally going on a podcast? Like, of like, I guess, of course, they'll remember us. But it does, like, make me surprised and, like, excited that they were like, "Oh, yeah, we were on She's All Batch."
Yeah. And then that's funny that they said they are going to be a guest on Caitlin's because, like, that has already happened. Like, this was submitted – or I saved it. I don't know when it was submitted, but I saved it in, like, late March. Mm-hmm. And this is – they've already – I think I saw the pictures with them with Caitlin, so I know that that happened already.
Yeah.
So, interesting. And I want to know about this sauce that you won from Joe.
Oh, yeah. Wait.
Like, we want to try the sauce.
I know. I'm like, we've talked a big game about, like, oh, we're going to do all these – we'll do a Patreon episode, Cooking with Jackie and Stephanie, where we, like, cook chicken parm with the sauce. But, like, when are we doing that? Never.
Well, we can do it.
I know. It's just hard. I'd have to come to your house.
Well, I can come to yours as well. You have a stove.
Yeah, but I just think your kitchen's better.
I have a setup for a cooking channel show in my kitchen.
Yeah, because you have like a center like island thing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I hate when people like taste test things on videos though, because like what do you say besides like, this is so good? Like,
well, watching someone. You only say that if it's good. If it's bad, you say, "Ew, this is bad."
Yeah, so maybe that'll come.
Yeah, wait, should we just buy the sauce though and send it to our houses? And then at least we can like just make pasta ourselves and try it.
If you if you really want the sauce, go
do we
for
think
it.
It's that good? Or do you think it's like, what do you think's better? Grocery store Joe's sauce or just like the normal like Rao's that you can get at the grocery store?
Rao's is phenomenal.
I know, but really good sauce.
I would like to think that Joe, he knows his sauces. He's like an Italian food expert.
Yeah, but, like, I know he used to work in a grocery store, but, like, he's not a chef.
Nobody knows what tastes good. He's a foodie.
Yeah.
So I do trust him, but at the end of the day, everyone has, like, different tastes. So he may like something that's, like, more garlicky or something. So you never know.
True.
Who's to say until we try it?
Yeah.
All right, well, those are all the Bachelor encounters we have for this week. If you have a story you want to submit, DM me at She's All Batch, and we may read it next week. You never know.
You never, ever, 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 ever know.
And that's our show. Thank you guys so much for listening. If you like what you hear, go write a review. Don't say that you will and then don't. Do it.
Totally.
Rate it 5 stars at the very least and send in your group chat to people, even if they don't want to watch or listen, and just tell them that they have to. And then they will.
So true. Check out our Patreon.com/She's All Batch. Check out our Facebook group. Oh, also guys too, I'm only a few survey responses away from being able to finally like plan the trip with Tova Trip, and then we can kind of move forward and share like, okay, where are we going? What are we doing? And I think that will be a lot more exciting when I can actually share real details with you guys. So if you are interested in just hearing more information about a potential trip that I'll be taking with some thoughts, fill out the link or the survey. The link will be in the episode description. I just need like literally like a handful more, like five, and then we can move forward. So be one of those final five. Ooh. Yeah.
Sounds so fun. The link to that will be in the podcast description.
Yeah.
We'll see you guys tomorrow with Hannah Brown.
Mm-hmm.
So definitely spoiler go alert. Check that out. Make sure you're subscribed, though, so it comes right to your phone. Wherever you're listening, if you don't know how to subscribe, ask a friend. Mm-hmm. They'll do it for you.
Yeah.
Is that it? No, I mean, we'll see you guys tomorrow, and then we'll see you Friday.
Yeah. So, like,
we'll see you.
Yeah, we'll see you.
Okay. Is that it, though?
I think that's it.
Okay. Goodbye, bitches.
Whether you're a morning person or a bedtime procrastinator, everyone deserves a mattress that works for their style. And you'll find the best mattress for you at Ashley. The new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley brings you one-of-a-kind body-conforming technology, making every sleep tailored to be your best. The collection also features cool-to-the-touch covers and motion absorption to help minimize sleep disruptions from partners, pets, or kids. Shop the all-new Tempur-Adapt collection at Ashley in-store or online at ashley.com. Ashley. For the love of home.